Okay, and welcome back. All kinds of things to talk about. Gary Holland joins us this first hour. We're going to talk about, well, was he or was he not a security guard? I'm not sure. We don't really know for sure. Jesus Campos. There are so many stories coming out of the Campos corner and people writing about him. We could almost change his name to Compost. It's growing so many different tendrils. I don't know where to chase him. It's really nutty. If you go to the top of Rents.com, look at the main story up there and just start going down the articles. And before you even go down the articles and essays that are there, look at the three pictures at the top. And I rotated three of them for a reason. There's something going on here. I don't know what it is, and I'm not saying there's a conspiracy behind every bush. But the most important thing is here that Mr. Campos is supposedly the recipient of an award for bravery, etc., given to him on October the 10th at a steakhouse in Las Vegas. Well, if you look at the picture of Mr. Campos sitting at the table and look at the background behind it, you'll see wallpaper. It's squares. It's on angles, but it's squares. And look at the lighting overhead. Can't mistake that. It's the same area, the same part of the restaurant. And then look at the redecorated restaurant. Now, the redecoration occurred sometime either before or in the month of June. That's several months ago. So how did Mr. Campos get his award on October the 10th, sitting in a restaurant that has an entirely different decor now? I'd like an answer to that. I don't know if we're going to get one. But Gary Holland is back with us tonight, and we're going to talk about that and many other things. Hello, Gary. Thank you for being here.
Hey, how's it going tonight, Jeff?
Good. And I want to also thank you. You have made a monumental contribution to America and people all around the world in terms of understanding Las Vegas, how it works, what's going on there, the sense of emergency that is there now to this very day, and it's probably getting worse because gambling receipts are way down, I understand. But this town is in danger of terminal illness. It's in bankruptcy. It's getting worse. And you have done so much to help us understand that. I really want to speak on behalf of millions of people and thank you for that.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping somebody, you know, would at least get a little more information, the truth at least of the way I see it, what I've been observing, because the fact of the matter is definitely not going to get no truth out of the national media here anymore. It's completely gone. Even the local media has even gotten worse. Even local talk radio here. I there's a couple of guys here that are pretty decent, I'll name one name if you don't mind. His name's Wayne Allen Root. He's the only one, and he's kind of a national talk show now again, but he used to be just a local guy here. Now he's the only one asking kind of serious questions. Of course, he's really going hardcore on the ISIS angle, and might be part ISIS, might not. And he also is the one who's really been pushing hard about Jim Murren and his
stock sale,
the fire sale on his stock. Yeah. Let's put it this way. Like today, now, there was another show on another station here in town, and I'll be honest with you, and I'll just... as a disclaimer, I used to work for this station and for this company, and it's a CBS owned company. And this guy has a local talk show here, and he was the one I was telling you that about. He's like Mr. He was the one who was proclaiming that if it wasn't that the first night it happened, there was people from Israel here already to help out. That's because that's what Israelis do. That's the type of guy he is. So. And he's also, yes, he is Jewish. But this guy was on today, and every guest he had was, Las Vegas is already doing great. It's looking like it's not, you know, and there was an article they had wrote, and I think in the RJ today, too.
Uh-huh.
It said, the title of the article was, it looks like the shooting is not going to cause any downturn in the tourism business. That's exactly, and so this is what he was trying to sell this afternoon.
Well, the big sale is on. You got it. Good luck. As you pointed out so eloquently, before 2009, people at the electronic poker machines and other machines would be paying They'd be paying, what, $3-5 to play a hand. Now you told us they're paying 30 cents to play a hand.
20 cents a hand, and a lot of times it's usually somebody that's trying to milk drinks from the cocktail waitresses. I mean, that's what they do. It's just, you know, there's a lot of alcoholics in this town. Yeah. And, you know, that's the old trick. And the cocktail waitresses, you know, what they're doing at MGM properties, too, and they're going to be installing these things. It used to be, you're on the casino floor, okay? There's two different ways you can play here. You can go sit at a bar and play video poker, just video poker. And if you don't max bet at the bar, okay, they won't keep feeding you drinks. You get one free drink, and then you have to start playing. And the bartender will sit there.
Oh, you mean, wait, hold on. Wait. There's a terminal at the bar in front of you? Is that what you're saying?
Inside most of the little bars here in town, they're called video poker. They have different names, but the nickname, all of them are video poker, keno bars.
So this is new to me.
Either they have video poker machines or keno.
So there's a machine in front of you at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to go to the side and sit on the side of the room. It's right there on the bar. I got you.
Right there, actually built right into the right into the top of the bar itself.
Got it.
So the way it used to be, like, the bartender didn't mind. But after the crash happened, now you'll have the bartender sitting there staring at you. And he'll say, oh, no, you're not max betting. You ain't getting no other drink until you max bet. Uh-huh. And he wants to see you at least do 10 hands straight at max bet. Well, guess what happens if you go inside any casino now? Most of it, I'd say, unless maybe like on a Friday and Saturday night, let's not count them two nights because that's usually the busier nights. But anytime Sunday through Thursday, the bars are empty. There's nobody at the bars because they've already learned the trick. They don't want to max bet to get a drink. So they'll play the casino floor and they'll play the penny slots. You know, there's so many different games. As you could tell, there was an Ellen game, which is why Ellen was doing the interview. Because
there's
Ellen
a huge
slot
for our listeners. There's a great big tall 10-foot slot with her picture on it and a cat week and all this stuff. It's a big Ellen slot machine.
And it's not nothing odd because you could go anywhere and there's like professional wrestlers who have their slot. It's like a new, the TV show The Walking Dead has their own slot series. Every famous TV show has its own slot series.
Sure. Interesting. All the series, all of them. Interesting.
Yep.
So you can play your favorite TV show in a slot machine. Okay.
I know it sounds. It is funny because, you know, people that are fans of these certain shows will just sit on them slots. And their odds, people have to realize, the longer you stay in a casino, your odds go so far down. If you go in a casino and you win $50, walk out. Because the minute you stay there, your odds to win anything else drops by every spin.
Yeah.
So when you see what's going on at the casinos, so now what they're going to do at MGM, so back to MGM, they're going to be putting these lights on top of the machines now, along with the, because you have two certain lights on top of every slot machine.
Okay.
If you need change, or you need the what they call the floor, the slot floor person to come over, you push a button, a help button. Okay, the other button, it flashes if the machine's having a code error or there's a problem with the machine. Then that light will flash, and the machine, you won't be able to use it. But they're going to put a third light on there now, and if you're not max betting, the red light won't turn on. That tells the cocktail waitress not to serve you any more drinks. So when you walk in now, it's going to be one drink, then that's it.
I see.
See, and the reason why they're doing this is because of gaming revenue is so, that tells you right there. Because other things, what they're doing, on this is the whole strip, and this has been going on, I'd say, this has been going on at least a year after the crash happened.
Uh-huh.
You used to have people that would go, the nice thing that with me is that I'm a man on the street. See, I don't, you know, I'm a blue collar type guy. You know, I'm not a rich person. I'm not a multimillionaire. I'm not even, you know, a 100,000.
Hey, listen, you've got your feet on the ground. You sense that town like nobody in the upper levels could. You understand the full spectrum of it. I got it.
Yep. And so I know regular people. I used to know some people that used to go with their, you know, they have the big blue recycling trash bins here with Republic Trash. Well, people I knew used to go down to the strip with the recycling bin, and then they'd go collect returnables.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, aluminum cans.
Sure.
as of 7 years ago, they started calling the police on these people. And they arrested this guy that I know. They arrested him for trespassing and stealing private property. And he goes, well, what am I stealing? He goes, any aluminum can you take, and this was a Caesar property, so any can you take, and he was trespassed from every Caesar property on the strip. Wow. He said, any can you take from any of our trash cans is our property. We're recycling them now. We have a recycling program.
Wow.
And so that's when you knew the desperation has been starting. See, and then now they're charging, if you want to, you see, Jeff, you lived in this town. Have you ever heard of any casino in this town charged for parking? It's $8 a day now. Now, my brother came out here to stay. He stayed over at Excalibur. This was about a few months ago he came out here.
$8.
He was a guest at the hotel. Mm-hmm. They didn't they used to at least validate your parking.
That's right.
At certain downtown casinos, due to the Fremont Street Experience, for years they used to charge for parking for people to come in. But the only thing you had to do was go in the casino, go to the cash cage, you get your parking validated, it was free. Well, they're not doing that anymore. He was a guest at the hotel, and they were still charging him $8 a day for parking. Then they had this new thing called a resort fee. And what it is, it's like $18 to $25 on top of the room rate. So, like, you go, it depends what property you go to. You will end up paying anywhere between $18 to $25 a night to what they call a resort fee.
It's a surcharge. It's a tax.
It's a surcharge. And so what does it cover? See, I did the math one time, and I said, you know what they're doing? They're making you pay for the room. And then if you factor in what that resort fee is, that mm-hmm. covers the maid's hourly wage to clean your room. And for the, you could break it even down as much as the amount it would cost your room to wash your linen, uh-huh. the water cost, the electric.
Wow.
They do this, and they have accountants that are very smart, and they do this stuff, and they factor in every expense it is to have you stay there per night. And that's what they're doing with these resort fees. They're basically charging you to have your room clean. You're paying the maid's wage to have your room clean. You're paying the water bill to wash your linen.
No, I
you're
got
paying
it.
The chemicals, the everything. Anything that goes on in that room, you're paying for now under the what they call the resort fee. And it's so now you can go and say if your room's 30, whatever it is a night, 50, 60, 100 a night, if you stay a week, so you got $700 for the room for the week, then you got resort fee every day, that's an additional $140, then you have the $8 parking fee, which is, you're
40.
Talking,
eighths or 40, they figure, whatever.
And then Clark County has literally been, if you come as a tourist in this town, be ready for Clark County to pick your pocket. There's a tax for this. Clark County has like six different taxes now they charge tourists when they come here. You try to rent a car here at the airport, and you look at it, you see, you know, your rental car, say, price is $20 a day. By the time you're walking out the door, it's actually about $75 a day because it's the $20 a day is for the rental, but then the rest is on taxes, concession fee, they call it, airport fee, this fee, that fee, and it's like 12.5%, 13%, 14%, 15%.
Wow.
They're gouging people.
Wow.
And now there's going to be a new tax for, because what they did, the state pitched in $700 million for the Raiders Stadium, right?
Yep.
But part of it also, the land and different other things, the way, now I'm reading more into this deal, which is more amazing, Clark County put in a bunch of basically saying, I guess they would be considered a loan guarantor for another part of that stadium. And how are they going to guarantee that? Well, they're doing it through room tax and through other taxes, whatever you do on the strip, an amusement tax, this tax, that tax. So they're literally like taxing the death, the tourists.
And that's also
having a big effect.
Yeah. Now, on top of that, the impact of October 1st has yet to be adequately and properly evaluated. It's huge. America has been shaken to its core in terms of anybody who goes to Vegas and has trust in the town and the industry and the fact that they're supposedly able to go there and have fun. That's been rocked to its roots. I don't know how they're going to heal from that. That's why everything shut down. That's why all the employees on October the 3rd were not admitting anything had happened anywhere. I played this clip from the woman who was inside Planet Hollywood and right outside the door, she figures 100 feet away from her, were shots automatic weapons going off twice. And everybody in Planet Hollywood panicked and ran and cleared out. She told a harrowing story. I've got it up there. You can find it under eyewitness accounts. And yes. She went back the next day to try to collect her 160-some bucks that she left in the slot machine when the shooting went off. She freaked and ran and left her winnings in the machine. She had, I guess, a chit, some kind of a piece of paper that showed where she was in terms of her profits on the gambling. She went back the next day to collect it. Here's what she said. Now, the most important thing about what you're going to hear is that the entire city, from all resort workers, from anybody in the entertainment industry, hotels, casinos, medical, hospital, any of those people, they're not going to be talking. Not to mention the fact that in the hospital business, you got the HIPAA in place, and that makes it illegal for them to say anything about anybody. They can't even say that they have a patient in there. And all these gunshot victims had to go to severe trauma care. That's where they were, 95% of them were taken there. And that's why some of the other hospitals are saying, nothing happened. We didn't get any. They've been told to. This town is now in survival mode. Understand? Understand that. Now, listen to what this lady says. It's very interesting.
But, no. Now, I went the next day as well to cash in a ticket that I had. Oh, another one, by the way. I left $128 in that slot machine that I ran from. I did not run away from my imagination, nor did I just run away from $128 for some, I think maybe it could have been firecrackers or possibly some shot somewhere stuff. No. I left money, I left food. They were shooting right there at the door at Planet Hollywood, or very close in proximity to it. Flat out, period. Last thing, I know I said that before, but last thing for real this time. I went to cash in my ticket at you know, you put them in this, like an ATM machine, and they give you your money back. They didn't give me my money back. What the hell? I got to go to a cashier. So I go to the cashier. He looks at the timestamp, whatever. And so he asked me, were you here with all that went down last night? I said, yeah. He said, what happened? And so I told him briefly what had happened. He looks at the cashier next to him and he said, I told you so. So she looks back at him and says, well, why are they telling you guys not to say so? He was like, I don't know. I didn't say so. She did, pointing at me. So from that, I gathered that the employees that were even there at the time were threatened to keep their damn mouth shut. Period. Period. So then he says to me that he had a cousin who was security at the Harvest concert and who was injured. But he said that his cousin told him that there was a shooter in the crowd. Now, that's a whole lot of hearsay, but I had that hearsay less than so many hours after the event, okay? I think that happened about maybe 4 p.m. because that was after my brother's wedding and after my brother's wedding dinner, okay? About 4 p.m. or so when I went back down there to cash out my ticket. So that's the other information that I have.
Okay, there you go. The point is, all the employees were told, nothing happened. Do not discuss any of it with any of the guests. It's over. And that's the next day. No surprise to you, Gary. You know, the whole town is now basically under informational lockdown on this event.
But yeah, let me explain the mentality and what goes in Las Vegas. Most of the everything revolves around casinos. And they've been trying for years, yes, to try to diverse from the casino business, but that's never going to happen. And you got to understand, this is like a tight-knit community. It really is. I can tell you, I know everyone that I know knows at least somebody or has a friend or a wife or a cousin or somebody in the casino business. And if it ain't in the casino business, it's a business that supports the casino business. A lot of these people here in town who have been here for quite a few years can remember what this town looked like after 9/11. And when 9/11 happened, this place was a ghost town. And it was bad.
And but they don't. They're what they now learned from that is that they don't want that to return back again here. But the problem with it is, you got, if you're a tourist, say you, Jeff, you're up in Oregon. You say, you know what? I feel like I gotta go. I want to go down to Vegas for the weekend. This just happened. This is before you made the final decision.
Right.
And you see the Keystone Cops on TV, not even getting it right. You first thing in your head's gonna say is, man, they're telling me it's safe to go back there, but they can't even get this investigation right. You see, in this, even if whatever you want to say,
it's not inspiring at all.
No, it isn't. And the image itself, most people, you know, when Reagan said one time when he was signing in the Martin Luther King holiday, he said, people don't care about the truth. They just care about the perception. And the perception you get right now from Las Vegas is that the cops don't even know what's going on. They have no clue. They don't even know. If I was not living in this town, I would say to myself, man, they don't even know if the shooters are still sitting bunkered down in town right now even. They have no clue.
No.
They just don't.
And with a community of 10,000 Muslims living in Las Vegas, and if a part of the shooters' teams was made up of Muslims, they could easily be in town now. So your analogy is not completely crazy.
No, they could be still. You got. Look, right down the street from my house, not even less than two blocks, there's a new mosque that was just built.
Oh, congratulations!
And it was a brand new mosque.
Yeah.
Here's the weird thing about that mosque: I never see anybody there, and it's been there for over a year and a half. It sits there. There's a car that comes in once in a while, a couple of cars.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's churches in the area. Obviously,
that
there's a ton of
weird.
Mormon churches.
That's
here.
Weird.
Their parking lots are kind of full all the time.
Yeah.
The Mormon churches are full all the time. The Christian churches are full all the time. But that mosque never has anybody. I don't see anyone walking into there.
How
it
weird.
It just sits empty.
No, that's weird.
It's called the Islamic Learning Center and... Uh-huh. Temple or whatever, you know, these, you know, they do their, you know, they stick their butt up in the air and they're going
yeah.
hum, hum, hum all day long
yeah,
and whatever
yeah.
they're doing, you know, but there's never anyone there. And I'm saying to myself, what is going on here? Why is there a mosque sitting there?
What's
no
it called again?
It?
Islamic
it's
Learning
like
Center?
Something like that, the Islamic Resource Learning Center. And there's another, by the way, this will kind of freak you out.
How about ISIS Command and Control Center?
Sure. Well, here's another thing. Now, the new Terminal 3, they built a new Terminal 3 at McCarran.
Uh-huh.
This is on Russell Road, near Russell and Maryland Parkway.
Right.
Where Maryland Parkway dead ends in Russell. If you drive down Russell, and I'm thinking, don't get me wrong, I'm thinking anywhere between Eastern down to the actual heading into the terminal area of McCarran. If you look on the right-hand side, there's another Islamic center right there facing the airport.
I don't
and it's
know.
Called, that yeah. one's another Islamic education center or something.
I'm sure.
And you always see a couple of the imams out there, with, you know, of course, with the same old dirty, you know, ragtag clothes, you know, they wear the old sheet and, you know, the old pajamas.
This is remarkable. And you got 10,000 people living in that town. They're supposed to pray, the devout, five times a day. Nobody's going to the mosque that you're seeing. This is weird.
Yeah.
These mosques were built for other reasons, obviously. Down the road, something else going on.
Obviously, because the other thing is you see a lot of the cab drivers, a lot of them are Muslim, and they have the prayer rug. Next thing you know, they're washing their feet inside the Starbucks. And this is, I'll tell you where the Starbucks is, and I used to go to this one a lot. This is over on Paradise and Flamingo. And what's over that way? Well, you have a lot of fancy hotels. You got the Tuscany. I don't know if there's a new name. It's still the Dollar Casino across the street from it. So anyway, there's like it's usually where cab drivers meet. It used to be a 24-hour Starbucks. I don't know if it's 24 hours anymore. I haven't gone over there in a few years. But these guys are sitting there on the side of the building, and they have the rug out. Next thing you know, they're praying in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I'm the type of guy, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. You know, and, you know, I understand you want to go pray, but at least do it in private, wherever you want to go with the rug and the whole thing.
Nope.
But they're doing it right in front of everybody. And they do it, that is done on purpose. For intimidation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got it. Totally.
And that's them telling you, we're taking over.
we're taking over. Because that's what, I was in Dubai. I was in, I was in Abu Dhabi.
We're going to talk about that next hour with Gary as well. So don't miss that.
In the Middle East. But I'll tell you what they do. So, like, in the middle of the day, they close everything down. And they do their prayers. They call the prayers so many, 5-6 times a day.
Right.
And some of the guys would complain about it. I respected it. It's their country. It's their country. I fully respected their way they wanted to handle their business. That's their business, and it's their country. They're more than welcome to do what they want in their country. And I fully respected their rules over there. But when they're here, it's the other way around. We have to respect their rules that they're bringing in. It's beyond crazy. And I last night you had Leonard Caldwell on.
Yeah.
And I feel so sorry for what's going on. The German people just they unfortunately I would say this and if I sound a little bit weird, then I'll try to make it sound a little bit more understandable. We're one generation behind the Germans. What I mean by that, the generation of German right now that is a feminized man who won't stand up for nothing, who just lays down and takes it, and the woman that just, the women have no protection anymore over there. We're one generation behind that. See, so the next generation coming up here is going to be
I think you're 100% right. The millennials, that Gen X, whatever. You got it. You got it.
Yep.
That's exactly
and
where
I'm
we're
Gen
going.
X. I'd say millennials, because most of the Gen, well, I'd say maybe the younger Gen X, but I know the older Gen X around my age, Scott Bennett's age, we fully see what's going on because we grew up and when I was in high school, there was no internet, there was no phones, there was no selfies, there was none of that stuff.
No.
It was, you
it's
wanted
so,
to learn
it's so self-indulgent
your
now.
It's
really disgusting. I've never seen anything like it, and it's only going to breed exactly the results you're projecting. Exactly.
It is. Because I talked to two guys at the VA, and they were stationed in Frankfurt, and they were stationed in Frankfurt in the last 10 years. They said that they had base advisories in Frankfurt on the Army base over there and in the Air Force base over there. They have advisories already telling anyone who lives with their families in base housing, do not go outside at night off base. It's too dangerous. It's basically the same advisory they give to people who are and he told me this. He goes, I was stationed in Riyadh, he said, in Saudi Arabia, and he was also stationed in Kuwait City. He goes, it was the same advisory they give in Muslim countries they're giving now on the bases in Germany. Now, publicly, the DOD is not going to tell you they're doing that, but believe me, the man on the ground, your enlisted guy, not the commanding general of the base who's well protected and has the big, the posh room and all that. I'm talking to the enlisted guy like I was. These guys are the day-to-day workers on the base. They're the day-to-day active duty enlisted guy. They're being told straight up by their own command, do not have your family go out at night because there's no protection for you at
Well, you heard Leonard say that about the poor Germans, and they're not living on military bases. It's exactly as bad as Leonard is saying and worse. He said that Merkel, the communist lesbian German hater, has covered
and
up over 600.
Don't forget, she was a Stasi, though, by the way.
That's
too.
Right.
She was
no,
German
that's
Stasi.
Right. All true. She's covered up over 650,000 crimes in the last year alone. Many of them, most of them, sex crimes. And I still say that a woman raped, a gang rape victim in Germany is essentially soul dead. Many of them will never recover, ever. Their lives are destroyed. They are casualties. They are permanently disabled. They'll never get over the PTSD. They'll never get over the horror. And I just don't understand it, how these alleged men can let that happen to their women. I don't get it.
Well, think about the psychological effect, Jeff. Not only were you gang raped, but then your attackers, what they all look the same anyway. I'm sorry, you can say what you want. They all look the same. There's no way I can't tell the difference between one or another.
Yeah, you're right.
They
look at the pictures.
So you think about the psychological impact. Not only were you raped, but then you have to see your attacker every day walking free, then trying to do it again to you.
That's right.
And there's no justice for you whatsoever. And it ain't Germany by going on just in Germany. Sweden's just as bad.
Sweden's worse. It's worse. Look, Leonard Caldwell was on last night, in hour number one. If you're in the archives, go listen. I'm going to put him up on YouTube. You need to hear this. He said, Germany is gone now. It's dead. It's gone. And no greater tragedy could come out of Europe than the loss of arguably the greatest, most industrialized, brilliant people in Europe. And they're dead.
And some of the most kindest people.
Absolutely.
Very kind people. Very
generous.
Very kind people.
See, that's
very
what makes
smart, kind,
that's what makes
nice
Caucasians
people.
So damn different. We always want to help. We want to give. We want to share. We want to help as a group, as a race. Okay, it's kind of a genetic thing, I guess, in us. Now, we're going to talk next hour about the black race in Africa and racial differences. Now, these are racial facts. This has nothing to do with racism. But before we go there, I want to go back to Jesus Campos. We talked about Ellen. It was a joke. And I've got pictures up. We look at the second story up there. It says, did Jesus Campos gain 30 to 40 pounds in a couple of days from October 10th to October 12th when we project the recording of the Ellen show was done? I don't think so. And then look at the pictures. Have you seen the pictures, Gary, of the restaurant where he allegedly got his award?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, and I want to make sure that was his picture. I'm gonna put it back up right now. I'm gonna look at that picture again. You know that when you showed that picture where it shows his reward and it shows him. To me, it looks. To me, I would say it kind of looks like it's actually a photoshopped picture. Like someone took a stock photo.
They could have dropped him.
They
could have dropped
decor.
Him in there so easy. Sure.
And which would have made sense. Like they took someone who knows, probably weren't even in Las Vegas that photoshopped it, was didn't know what was currently happening at that restaurant that had been remodeled in June, didn't do their homework, outsourced probably the same sloppy outsourced work that with the stage murder that happened in his room. They photoshopped it in, assuming that's the way the restaurant still looked. And again,
and they didn't
another
check.
Mistake from some sloppy
they screwed up.
Work.
They got an old picture from the restaurant banquet room or whatever part of that restaurant they use for get-togethers like that. And the whole decor had been overhauled and redone at least as of last June. Okay, they screwed up. The only logical explanation is they gave him an award 2 or 3 years ago at the same place, or they put him in there and they photoshopped him in there. But when you look at the two pictures, look at the second story. Did Jesus Campos gain 30 to 40 pounds
Jesus
in a couple
Campos
of days?
In that picture.
Yeah.
Jesus Campos, it was that restaurant picture, because you know it keeps, because you have it on that flashing GIF. I'm looking at it now. Is he the one with the glasses? Correct. On
right.
The
That's
side,
right. That's right.
Staring at now he has the glass look like in his hand. Now look how his arm I would say if he's sitting facing the camera, that'd be the left arm. Now, if you look how his arm goes to the behind, now it's looking like there's someone's hand
on the shoulder of the guy next to him.
Left side. Exactly.
Yep.
But look how his arm is set up, though. It doesn't even look like the same, because if you look the way his arm
the angle's wrong.
Angling, the angle's wrong. And if the arm, unless he has octopus arms.
Yeah. No, the angle's wrong.
The angle that arm is, so which I'm assuming that what they did is you could do this with CGI. I mean,
they put the head on somebody else's body or actually put him in there, same color tie. Yeah, you look at the picture, and it's the first picture in the rotation of three. You take a look, and there's a longer video about all this. You can click on down below and look, give credit. It's called The Outer Light. They did a really good job, and I grabbed these pictures from their video. But take a look at the first picture. There's five people shown sitting at the table with the lights overhead. There's Campos allegedly on the right. Look at his hand. The angle's wrong. It looks like he'd have to have a broken wrist to be able to do that.
That's the thing I was noticing. Yeah. Is he has octopus arms on that one side only, because the right side arm is shorter than the left arm.
Yeah, that would be
like
his
a very
left.
Strange curvature.
Our right side, his hands on the guy's shoulder next to him. Check that angle out. It's not right. It's weird.
And he's wearing glasses, which is kind of strange, because when he was on any other picture, I haven't really noticed him wearing glasses.
No, it's arguable. There's a dilemma here. It's a real problem. Either they photoshopped him in to an old scene from Gene and George's Steakhouse, or he got an award in the past for some reason, or somebody really screwed up and it ain't him at all. I don't know. Look at the picture, though. The second link, did he gain 30 to 40 pounds? Look at the two faces. Oh, I can see the similarities. I get the hairlines. I see all that. But that's 2 days difference, supposedly.
Unless he was on some super
carbs,
steroid injection.
Heavy-duty carbs. Yeah, no, doesn't work. No, there's something wrong. And we've been had. We've been played so many ways. Here's this horrible massacre that happens. And here's Las Vegas already in bankruptcy. And what are they going to do? What are they going to do? I've got a theory about what they may have to do, Gary, and this, you may laugh. I think they're going to have to start running shuttle flights from major West Coast cities, maybe mountain cities, Denver, Salt Lake, basically like for $20 per passenger.
They already have. Actually, they have an airline stationed here. They have an actual headquartered airline. It's called a Legionnaire. And they've been doing that for quite a while.
They're going to have to do it then. They're going to have to do it for free. They're going to have to give free transportation in Las Vegas.
Well, they do, you know, like, I can even tell you, there's used to, like, I have some family members that live in Southern California. Okay. Live in the Los Angeles area. Now, for the longest time, Los Angeles area, you could used to be able to catch a bus anywhere, like in the church parking lot, meet us here at this time.
Sure.
You drive the bus, it's a 1 day turnaround trip. Get on the tour bus, drive out to Las Vegas, they give you a couple of free buffet tickets, and you used to pay $5. Well, and then what would happen was the buses would go into the casino, and the casino would comp the bus company, basically, to bring people into their doors, you know, get them through the doors. And they've been doing this for far long as I can remember. Lately, what they've been doing is the buses have been charging more money to do that. The lady, one of the buses, I had a family member who was going to go come up here on a bus like that,
uh-huh.
And told him, well, she goes, the casinos aren't as generous as they used to be with us anymore. So, which means, like, if they were comping these, I think it was $25 to $50 a head. The casino would comp the, mm-hmm. You know, the tour operator.
Got
now,
it.
I guess it's apparently they're only doing like $10 a head, maybe even less, mm-hmm. Maybe not even doing anything and just throwing in a couple of buffets. They're not even giving the buffet comps anymore. So, like, you get on the bus and it's $20. You get to the casino. You do a day trip to the casino and back, and you don't get nothing. And usually you get at least two buffets and, you know, whatever, and they're not doing that anymore. So the town's in a tailspin. It really is. It's been in a tailspin for a while. Now, you could then further make the assumption then, and it wouldn't be that far of a stretch, possibly that was one of the agendas why this shooting happened, because within the next few months, there is going to be a crisis, because look, you understand, these casinos are over leveraged. They've owed so much money so far to so many places. Like I said, MGM was in such trouble at one time, especially with all the building they were doing. Half of the MGM properties were bought out by what they call Dubai World. Okay. Yeah. Look at this company called Dubai World. They're half owners. And like you said, that's where you were saying about how the Saudis own half the floor, you know, the upper floors of the Mandalay Bay.
The five top floors of the Mandalay Bay and the Four Seasons restaurant. That's like going into a Saudi embassy or something similar to it. That's Saudi land. They shut that off. Yep. Nobody gets in there. And that's why
the UAE too, the United Arab Emirates too. That's Dubai World, and you got to remember, Dubai World it bought into big parts of MGM Grand, which is why Jim Murren has to bow down to them and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, he's officially retiring here pretty soon. Gary, let me ask you a question before we run out of time here. What would you do if you were counseling the city fathers? I mean, the big players, the heavyweights. What would you do? What would you tell them to do to try to recover from this?
Man, you
think about it. Think about it. Don't hurry. Well, we can spend 5 minutes, come back. Think about it. I don't know. I thought about free transportation. That's one. But the idea that the confidence of America has been shaken to its core, and they remember there were shootings at least 10 hotel casinos or outside of them. And 9 out of 10 of those were done to distract and to scare and for psychological impact. Nobody was shot that I've been able to determine. Not yet. Outside the venue at the Mandalay, the concert festival there, the Harvest Festival. And I don't know. They scared the hell out of the town. They shook that town from one to the other. And it may have been a message. Look, maybe there's stuff going on that we couldn't even imagine. Maybe whoever did this is telling Las Vegas, look, you saw what we can do, and we only went after one group of patrons. What if we'd have gone after the people of Planet Hollywood? Sent a team there.
The thing is, Jeff, I still think there's something bigger. I still
think it's NORTHCOM. You got it. No, it's NORTHCOM. You got it. You got it. I agree.
That operation was basically a diversion. They wanted all eyes on for that time on that shooting because something else is going on. See, because the fact of the matter is, like you said, think about it. How can you tell them, well, the problem with it is it's nationwide. We never left. We never got out of the depression. No matter what Trump tried to say, the unemployment's the lowest it's ever been.
A lot of people are working. Total lie.
No one has disposable income. No. That's the reason why there's so much trouble in this
78%,
country.
78%. Gerald Salenti just put this out. 78% of America lives paycheck to paycheck. No discretionary income. 78%. So we've never recovered from 2009. You're right.
No. And you want to know, if you want to tell how this economy is going, people are so convinced of this. They say, well, online selling, you know who used to be, you used to have a guy named, that guy Dave with X22 on your network a long time ago.
Yeah.
He was the best one at explaining this. They kept saying, he did the math. He said, well, they're saying, reason why Walmart's having trouble and all these places are having trouble is because of online buying. He said, but the total sales of online sales have only had gone up 2% in the past 10 years. The math of the percentage rise in online sales versus the loss of sales on retail brick and mortar stores doesn't even match. And the one.
That's very interesting. I hadn't heard that.
Yes, and the one company I heard, and you can you'd have to go back on Google, and there's an old story out there. Walmart issued a statement, I don't want to say about maybe a year or two ago, saying, our customers, towards the end of the month, have no money to buy anything. Our stores are dead at the end of the month. The reason why they're dead at the end of the month, because all the government paid the people that get the government checks, their money's already spent, and people who have jobs don't have any just money left at the end of the month to even come shop for groceries anymore. And Walmart put a prospectus out and made a statement saying, well, that's what's going on with their stores.
Sad.
And Walmart closed a bunch of stores. Target closed a ton of stores. Mm-hmm. Kmart, look, Sears and Kmart's gone. If anyone thinks they're going to survive another year, I have a Kmart that I'm surprised. Down the street from where I live, there's a Kmart. And you're lucky to see there's more people that go into 7-Eleven that's in that Kmart at any time. I can't see how they're staying open.
Oh, you're right about Sears,
especially. Stores here in town.
Right. I went into a Sears store. It was like going back into something in the 1970s or 80s. It just was dead.
Yep.
Nothing there. It smelled old. There was no life, nothing.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're on the way out.
No.
Gone.
Kmart is the same way. You know, I keep telling you, it's so funny because I told the lady the other day, I go to Kmart. I like to go there because it's a slow store. I said, it's like going in a time machine when you come in here. It's like in the 1980s.
same thing. Yeah, exactly.
Really, and it reminds me, Sears and Kmart reminds me, if you remember the old Montgomery Ward stores.
Yes.
When I was living, and at the time I was living in Southern California when they were about to go, when they went under.
Yeah.
And you couldn't go into a Ward store a year before they went totally bankrupt and folded. It was just like Sears and Kmart was dead. You don't have nobody
That's
in
right.
there.
It was
there's nobody.
It was a relic.
It's sad.
Yeah. All right, let me spend our last 4 minutes and let's bring everybody up to date where we are on the Keystone Cops and what they're trying to do there. Actually, they've canceled all further news conferences because they can't keep their stories straight. We don't know how many people actually died in the massacre. I agree with Gary. We both think it was 150, maybe 200 people. They put a freeze on it so quickly after the event.
Yeah.
It was like one day and a half later, 58, hadn't changed since then. Now, with hundreds of wounded, many critical, there are going to be some more fatalities, but nothing's been announced. So a lot of people say...
It's not a staph infection or anything.
No, it's weird.
And I forgot to mention the whole time we've been having these conversations, people's been asking me, I've told a few people, I said, you know, it's about 200, well, the morgue will be overfilled. Wrong. I told you, remember, I told you, Jeff, my theory off on the phone conversation we had. If you go anywhere in this town, any of the warehouse districts in this town, there's at least two or three big cold storage warehouses. They're actually big
refrigerated warehouses, freezers, everything.
Refrigerated warehouses, yeah. Sure. Yeah. And they do that because they used to have a lot, you know, they supply the casinos and stuff. And if you wanted to excess bodies, you would easily just put them in the cold storage warehouses. Family members come into town, say, you say anything, we're going to do a private burial, you're going to do. You're not going to mention anything.
This is national security. If you do, you'll be arrested and face charges. That's it.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
And I believe there had been way more than 500 injuries. We're talking, my estimate, I would say 1,000, over 1,000 injuries. Easy. You have 22,000 people, and these guys are on the ground just laying, just clip after clip. You have M60 fire going on, you shooting into the crowd.
Yeah.
You imagine the amount of rounds.
Some of those rounds, the shooters in the crowd, they could have been suppressed weapons. They might have been...
So and you wouldn't notice because, and then they probably even had pyro going off. I mean, look, you know, all around it's a total chaos way an ambush is supposed to work. But with 22,000 people, and it's basically a turkey shoot, 58 dead, and first they said 500 something, then they went back down to 400, now it's back up to 500. They can't get their mind straight.
Let me lay something else on the table here, real quick. Jay Widener sent me a YouTube, and he said, listen, and the idea is that there's a sound of a stealth helicopter in it. And I'll be damned if it didn't sound like whoop, 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 just like a stealth helicopter would. And it might be that Northcom or FEMA, whoever, could have had a chopper hanging above, digitally recording, video recording, everything that's going on for obvious reasons. And that may have been the sound that's on that tape.
Or a drone, because if you have to understand, the largest drone base
in the west
is Creech Air Force Base, 50 miles in Indian Springs, just north of here.
Yeah.
And it would have made just if you'd have drones and like I was telling you, live, real time video. That's what they. I can guarantee you they were accessing real time.
All infrared night vision. Sure. They were watching everything. So what we're not going to see is whoever he is, Jose Campos, talk to anybody else. He'll probably just disappear and vanish. And I hope he has his life insurance paid up. That guy, they're not going to let him run loose. No way. The way he handled himself on the Ellen program, as we talked about, we don't know how many takes they had before they edited that together. There are no cutaways of the crowd to prove. And even that doesn't prove anything. So we don't know what we saw. We saw a very bumbling, inept, incompetent, stupid, embarrassing, dumb effort to, quote, investigate somebody who wasn't able to string two collective sentences together properly.
Doesn't it seem to you, Jeff, that they had a script at the beginning before
the
operational stage?
They fell off.
And so as the operation had and everything started falling apart and the narrative started changing, they keep rewriting the script now.
That's right.
And that's why you have pictures of him being fat and then being skinny. You have Photoshop pictures of him here and there. They had to come up with these two guys. The story keeps changing. Now they're not having press conferences anymore.
Right.
It's like they had to keep rewriting the script.
Let me tell you all.
They have to keep making script changes.
I want to tell everyone one other thing. Kimberly Sukumel, I think that's how her last name is pronounced, the woman who lived in Apple Valley, who along with Rick and two other women, made it out safely, went home, she wrote her account up, put it up on Facebook, wrote a small addendum, and then died the first time her husband left her alone in the house. 27-year-old, 28-year-old mother. I don't believe she died of natural causes. I think there's a very good chance that they removed her because her avowed intention was she was furious. She wanted to uncover the cover-up, and she was going to organize as many of the survivors as possible. They didn't like that. And it's very simple for them to drive a van up or run a drone overhead and hit that house, hit her. They can look right through the walls and make her heart stop. It's very simple to do. Trust me, the technology has been around for decades. It's easy. They knocked me out at the wheel 2 years ago, and I shouldn't be here now. They can do that. They can kill people very simply. And I think there's a very good chance, I can't prove it, that they removed her.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that case. And they said, well, maybe it's because it was stress. Well, wait a minute. The utmost stress would have been the night of the shooting. She would have went into full.
She was calmed down.
Had multiple that night. That night, because that was when the most stress would have been on her.
And then they claim she had three epileptic episodes a day before she died. That's what they're claiming now. So they're saying it got worse. I don't think so. She was motivated, very angry, and organizing very quickly.
And which also I still would say, also thinking back, she witnessed something, which they had her on live video. She might have even, hey, look, just at the corner eye, seen one of the ground guys that were doing the shooting. And were afraid, maybe, you know what, since she's going to do this, go and do, set up this group, she might also have tried to do what they call regression therapy.
Easy. Anything's
hypnotic
possible.
Therapy. To go back and to see if they could notice anything of description of the people.
Okay.
That's what they would have said they would have been afraid of, and that would have been the witness angle. Where I keep saying, if there's witnesses to this stuff, man,
they're not going to talk.
Witnesses to anybody who was involved in the operation itself.
Yeah.
Man, you know,
right.
Michael Savage told that woman, Gail, that day, he goes, I suggest to you, he said, disappear in the night. And she said, because she's at the FBI, she called the FBI, she called this one in Metro and FBI with her testimony. They didn't call her. And that when he had heard that, he said, I suggest you go into the night and disappear.
When they didn't call her back.
They didn't respond. Yeah. They didn't call her back.
Exactly.
That's scary.
You got it. You know. All right. We're going to pause on that note. Come back in just a few minutes, and Dr. Patricia Doyle will join us. We're going to talk about the invasion of the formerly United States of America by the Trump administration, but more than that, the globalist elite who are pumping all of these Muslims in here. They're not legitimate refugees. Not a chance. The black Africans being pumped in here, no way are they legitimate refugees. The only legitimate refugees I know of are the ones in South Africa now who are facing imminent death. Yes, there are a lot of people in the Middle East who have been made homeless by American foreign policy or what passes for that. We understand that. But these people brought into this country and in Europe, no, that's an invading army. We'll come right back, and I want all of you to pay attention to what Gary is going to tell us about the character and the caliber, if that's the right word, of the people in Somalia that they are bringing over here. All you got to do is remember about that Somali cop in Minneapolis who executed that white woman. You remember? Don't forget. Okay, be right back.